Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Monday, October 3rd, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 20% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT10. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zachter.
I'm Jason Howell.
Just the four of us sitting down to an old-fashioned Tech News dinner.
Sunday smells night. So good.
Good to get the family around the table again.
The crock pot's been brewing all afternoon.
We got a whole mess of iPhone rumor in the back.
Could you pass me some Rhapsody, please?
Oh, yeah. This is new. Who made this? This is delicious.
From a can. Stop flattering me.
Rhapsody is acquiring bits of Napster. This is a hard
Bacon
one
bits
hard one for people to report, because Rhapsody is not acquiring Napster from Best Buy. Best Buy owns Napster. They are acquiring Napster's subscribers and certain other assets from Best Buy.
So when they acquire, that means Best Buy still owns
other pieces of Napster.
Like the music licensing deals?
Yeah, for instance, apparently Rhapsody is not getting Napster's music licenses, so Napster subscribers will go from having access to Napster's 15 million songs to having access to Rhapsody's 13 million songs.
So that seems like, hey, that's 2,000 songs less than I already had.
2 million,
so,
yeah.
2 million, rather. But then again, it's... who knows? Maybe you'd like the connection better.
Well, you have
better.
Access to 2 million fewer songs, whether right. they're... How much overlap that is, it's hard to say. Deal is set to close around November 13th. Now, Napster also has plans that start at $5 a month. Rhapsody's current plans start at $10 a month. So I don't know if Napster subscribers are in for a price increase either. But all of this is sort of an indication that the old guard, they're not that old, but they're older than Spotify and RDO, are having to consolidate in face of these new subscription services that seem to be doing better.
Oh, well, also, go ahead.
Best Buy is going to have a minority stake in Rhapsody now, so they're going to still work with them. Napster, the brand, we don't know where that's going either, right? We don't know if, and some of the intellectual property that's being shifted, we don't know if it's going to be Napster still with Best Buy or Napster's going to be part of Rhapsody or if they're going to work together at all in the future. But I mean, Best Buy and Rhapsody are still working together with Best Buy owning part of Rhapsody.
Yeah, it's very confusing. It's very confusing on the business side of it. For the consumer, actually, it's going to be pretty straightforward. If you're a subscriber to Napster, starting sometime after November 13th, you'll become a subscriber to Rhapsody.
Right.
That's it. End of story.
Yeah. It's not really obvious what Best Buy still retains versus Rhapsody. Although, it is interesting that Rhapsody is clearly interested in what they call that robust IP profile.
And Rhapsody, don't forget, is an independent now. They're no longer owned by Real Audio. Mm-hmm. They got spun out, I think April 2010. So, you know, they're kind of going it alone against these other companies that have got more buzz and more hype. So they need to do something to help themselves. And I guess what they're doing here is just saying, let's beef up subscribers so we get more money coming in so we can strike more deals so we can get some more momentum. A security hole in HTC phones has people buzzing. Android Police did a little investigation, reported a vulnerability in HTC's Sense UI that allows a lot of your personal information to be accessed by apps without your knowledge. So here are the details behind it. There's an application package called htcloggers.apk. That is installed with root-level access. Apps with internet permission. So you've given the app explicit permission to access the internet, thinking that's all they're going to get, apparently can access htcloggers.apk and then access information like GPS data, Wi-Fi network data, memory info, running processes, SMS data, system logs. System logs can include things like email addresses. Don't know why the htcloggers.apk has been given permission to be accessed by apps that can have access to the internet, but it obviously is a mistake. HTC phones are the only ones that are vulnerable to this. A partial list of the phones to be aware of: Thunderbolt, Evo 3D, Evo 4G, Evo Shift 4G. You can, if you've rooted your phone, delete HTC loggers and not be vulnerable to this bug anymore. However, if you haven't rooted your phone or you don't want to root your phone, you kind of have to wait for HTC to look into this and come up with a patch.
Now, they've already made a statement on their Facebook page about this, right? They're going to make an update, hopefully, and get around this. But, I mean, this is only limited to Sense 3, or is it any, or lower?
Yeah, I don't know if it's limited to Sense 3 or not. I mean, it's lower because the Thunderbolt is not on 3. It's 2.5.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, this is an issue in the sense that they're storing all this data on your phone in a way that other apps can get to it. That's kind of the issue here. Some people are like, you know, kind of up in arms about the fact that they're keeping this kind of data on your phone at all. And it's kind of like, well, you opt into it.
Yeah, so. You want some of this data to be included on your phone because it makes the apps that need it work better.
Yeah, I mean, and part of this is when you're setting up your HTC phone, it asks you if you want to kind of keep a log of this stuff so that they can kind of, HTC can track it better. You know, it's one of those things that you agree to that you're like, yes, I'll help to make your systems better. Sure, here's the info. The strange thing, though, here is that HTC is keeping this data whether you opt into it or not. It's just if you don't opt into it, then it doesn't send it back to them. But obviously, as you can see here, any app with internet access can get to that, and that's a big problem.
Yeah, it's a bug in the permissions, obviously. Mm-hmm. HTC said, we take our customer security very seriously. We are working to investigate this claim as quickly as possible. We will provide an update as soon as we're able to determine the accuracy of the claim and what steps, if any, need to be taken. Android Police obviously investigated this. HTC wants to confirm that it's true, and which they should, and then figure out how it works and how to best patch it. But in the meantime, I would be very careful about what apps you run on your Android.
Especially
phones,
now that this
Android
is out
phones.
There. Yeah. Because, I mean, pretty much any app in the market that has any sort of anything to do with the internet, which on a mobile OS platform, there's going to be a lot of apps that need that internet, that very basic level internet permission, now has access to this file and people know about that. So be careful.
Or everybody should root their phones right now.
Well, yeah, if you root your phone,
there you go.
If you wanted an excuse to root your phone, now is the time to do it.
Exactly.
Because now you can delete that file and this logger isn't
Not
there.
Not everybody's going to be comfortable with that, but that is the best solution you have right now. Another security story, Facebook announced they're working with WebSense to add some phishing safety. This is similar to what happens in browsers where you click on a link and the browser says, that link looks like it goes to something nasty. Sure you want to go there? You can if you want, but we're warning you. That actually happened to twit.tv once by accident. Facebook teaming with WebSense to provide warnings when you are clicking on a link to go to a malicious website. WebSense has something called Threat Seeker Cloud. That sounds kind of like a secret agent's nickname or a superhero.
Yeah, I think they just pulled it out of thin air. Threat Seeker Cloud.
They pulled it out of the cloud.
Ah.
Yeah. Threat Seeker Cloud is a system which stores a database of known malicious URLs. The system can also detect unknown dangerous URLs by assessing threats in real time. This is good at preventing the so-called friend-in-the-middle attack, which I had not heard of until I read this BBC article today. Friend in the middle is the idea, okay, like a man in the middle attack, you know what that is, mm-hmm. right? Where you have, you know, someone in the middle stealing your data. Friend in the middle attack happens, at least the way they're defining it here, because on Facebook, you tend to trust what comes from your friends, right? If I get a link from you, Ayaz, or you, Sarah, I'm like, oh, well, this is coming from Ayaz and Sarah. I don't need to be so skeptical about it. But if either of you have been compromised and something is being auto-generated, then that can bite me.
Absolutely.
So you are in the middle between the nefarious person and me.
Considering there's, 750 million Facebook users out there, it's really easy for somebody to put a link up accidentally. I mean, effectively, to some people, Facebook is the internet. So it has this level of security there. When you click this one thing, oh, look, it's a malicious site. So it'd be kind of nice if they also had maybe those... they took care of all those hoaxes out there. Like, Facebook is going to cost money and all this other stuff. So
I know. If only the stuff that isn't links could also be
That becomes
out.
A free speech issue. Yeah.
But that's the issue with Facebook, right? Is that, I mean, it's like a bad rumor that just gets spread around like wildfire. There are so many people using Facebook that you need stuff like this. Even the three of us might say, I can't think of the last time I clicked on a link and got tricked on Facebook, but... when you get enough people in one place and there's this element of trust, it gets out of control.
It only takes one to start it off. And then everybody's like, oh, well, that's coming from my best buddy Joe. I'll click on that. Mm-hmm. And then boom, you're out.
Never trust Joe.
Yeah, that Joe. He's always the
Unfriend
Joe in the middle.
Him.
This episode, you can trust, though. And it is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. Squarespace has all the things we tell you about all the time. Easy-to-use UI, a way to put in Flickr and Twitter, a way to have an amazing-looking design without having to work very hard at it because you just take the template and maybe tweak it a little. Gives you access to the CSS code if you want it, if you're somebody who knows how to customize it exactly, or lets you just tweak it from a WYSIWYG-type interface. You can build, you can design, you can manage. You get all kinds of reports on traffic that are much better and easier to read than a lot of reports you would get from other hosts. So if you haven't checked them out yet, really, you need to go check them out. Squarespace.com, all-inclusive service, gives you a much better way to build a website. Great way to build a website for someone else, too. If you've got a friend who's starting a business, you're starting a business, and you want a good, reliable website that isn't going to go down and is going to look great, try them out. Squarespace.com. And here's what we're going to do. If you sign up for a free account, you don't need a credit card, and you just try it out, you are going to love it. And when you do, you decide to purchase it, use offer code TNT10, and you get 20% off for 6 months. Check them out, squarespace.com. Like I said, no cost to try it. No credit card even. They're not going to make you cancel, try to trick you into buying them. In fact, they even give you data portability. If you want to leave later, you can take your data with you. You're not locked in ever. But if you do decide to purchase it, use that offer code TNT10 and get 20% off for 6 months. Thanks to Squarespace.com for all their support of Tech News Today. I use them three places now. Sword and Laser, UnitedMoonColonies.squarespace.com, and Forecast.
So you're a fan. You're a believer.
I'm not only a fan, I'm a user.
Mm-hmm. I am too.
I am.
I love Squarespace.
Let us move back into the tech news then and get to Alibaba. This actually comes from Friday afternoon. It happened after the show ended. Usually don't get a lot of news happening right after the show on Friday, but Jack Ma was giving a talk at Stanford. He is the CEO of Alibaba. And if you don't know Alibaba, they're a big player in the Chinese internet scene, and they are owned by Yahoo 40%. Yahoo owns 40% of Alibaba. So if you think back, if you remember that Alipay situation where Alibaba took the most profitable part of their business and spun it out without telling Yahoo, and there was a big kerfuffle over that, that's where you might have heard of them. Someone asked him a direct question, are you going to buy Yahoo? Because everybody thinks Yahoo's up for sale. He said, we are very interested in Yahoo. Our Alibaba group is important to Yahoo, and Yahoo is important to us. All the serious buyers interested in Yahoo have talked to us.
Now, Yahoo owns 40% of Alibaba.
Correct.
And that was an investment that I believe Jerry Yang made back in the day when Yahoo was...
Yeah. Investment, definitely.
Isn't that unusual for a company that another company has 40% of to then be looking to acquire that initial company?
Well, I guess you would call it a merger in that case. That's a good question. I mean, what's really unusual is the fact that a foreign company is allowed 40% ownership of a Chinese company.
What I think Ma's unhappy that
they have to do
to
a lot
point.
Of a dance to get around that. Kara Swisher of All Things D asked Ma directly if he wanted the whole company referred to Yahoo, and Ma said yes, he does. But the effort was complicated and included a number of players, but then repeated, "We are very, very interested."
Is there anything you guys think that Ma could do with Yahoo at this point, to the point where it is still, like, it becomes relevant again? I mean, is any change in leadership going to help that company, or is it simply just too late? Because, I mean, at this point, when people think search, they don't think Yahoo, because Bing does the search for Yahoo. They think Google first thing. And I don't know what kind of campaign they would have to do to even become just relevant again. I mean, what's the point of buying Yahoo other than the content deals?
Well, I mean, Yahoo has gone through, in just the last month, quite a bit of shakeup already. So I don't know that we even can see how it's going to change in the next 6 months yet, just because they've had a shakeup at the top.
Yeah, I don't think Yahoo is hopeless.
No.
The fact is they still have a huge number of visitors. They are top five internet product company. They have tons of people relying on them for services like mail. A lot of respect in the reporting arena because of Yahoo News. In fact, Yahoo Sports is considered to be a competitor with ESPN in breaking news. We'll talk about NewsFuse, this new deal that they have with ABC News to cooperate. So they're getting big players on their side. The fact of the matter is they've been declining. They've been receding or at worst standing still while everybody else is growing. So I think, you know, it's tempting to rush out there and say Yahoo's dying. Can anything turn them around? I think the answer is yeah. I think somebody could turn them around very easily now because they have such a big presence in the U.S. On top of that, I would add that where they are more successful is in Asia. And that would make sense for Alibaba to say, you know what, we want to buy Yahoo. And the U.S. Yahoo can do what it does. And we want the successful part that's in Asia because that's where we operate. That could be bad for Yahoo U.S. That might lead to underfunding of things here, and then it could decline. Then I think it could be in real trouble.
It's interesting that he says, no, we want the entire Yahoo company, not just Yahoo Sports or Yahoo Mail, which many people still use and are happy with. Although he could just be saying that. You know, it's you buy an entire company, and then you can do what you want with all of the different departments.
Yeah, Chimera puts it very bluntly. He says, this is Valley myopia. If you're not growing double digits every quarter, you're pond scum. That's true. We tend to undervalue really big companies if they're not constantly growing when they could be doing well. I think the problem with Yahoo is they seem directionless. So everyone's worried about them. And the question that you're asking, Ayaz, is pertinent, which is, what are they going to do to actually move forward? They've just been treading water now, it seems like, for years. They've been sort of rudderless. Let's move on to Oracle Open World going on here in San Francisco. It's more of an enterprise-y story, so it's probably not going to affect your life directly unless you're in the enterprise business. But Larry Ellison, always good for some entertainment. Speaking at a keynote address yesterday, Ellison conceded that IBM's power line of processors have been setting the standard. But, of course, Oracle bought Sun, and their big news is the Spark T4 processor that they announced last week. He said, we're better than IBM in Java, and we're going to beat them in integer arithmetic, and then there will be nothing left. He did sort of backpedal after that a little bit. But yeah, he said, we're faster for Java, Mr. Blue. You're faster for integer arithmetic. If you think companies do a lot of arithmetic, cool. We think they access a lot of data and run a lot of Java.
I'm very curious to see what the audience response was. I mean, I'm assuming this is Larry Ellison up there. He's a charismatic guy. I'm assuming that the audience wants to be at Oracle World. So maybe there's like lots of cheering. But like to say we're faster for Java, Mr. Blue. I mean, was that really a real big dig at IBM calling them Mr. Blue? It's like, ooh, that's tough words here. Is he taking the place of Schmidt with crazy things today? Like he's just,
you know, we'll find out later in the news. We got a quote from Schmidt that's very reasonable. So, yes.
So the conservation of crazy chairman or
crazy
CEOs
can neither be created nor destroyed.
So it's only shifted.
There's a constant
I don't know if
level.
This sounds crazy. It just sounds like someone who wants to Bravado. Be heard. Yeah.
But
yeah.
There'll be nothing left
well,
of IBM.
That's a little crazy.
Yeah.
But that's Ellison over the top. He's poking fun at them because their performance is rated on integer arithmetic, which, you know, makes a good sound bite, but integer arithmetic's very important to a processor still, whether you're running Java or not. So I do think it's interesting that all of the touting here is based on the acquisition of Sun. They definitely are using what they bought and not the normal Oracle stuff. So you know, you can see that both ways. You can say, oh, Oracle had stagnated and they're relying on Sun injection to keep them relevant. Or you could say they made the right call. They bought Sun and this is what they needed to do. Finally, we were not going to be able to avoid it. The iPhone announcement is tomorrow morning.
No, and what? Nobody alerted me to this.
Oh,
what
yeah.
What is this?
Apparently, have you heard of Apple?
Yeah.
Apple.
Yeah.
They used to be Apple Computer, but now they're just Apple because I think they moved into fruit. But they are now going to release a new phone.
Didn't they just release one?
Don't they have enough?
No, it's been over a year since they released one. Yeah, it's been a while.
There was one like this year, like on another network.
No. That was the same phone, but on another network. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
You don't need a new phone nowadays, right?
Right.
It's all done now.
No, nobody.
Did anyone believe me?
How often do you
did
need
you think I...
to
Scott have a Trump today?
I just decided to pretend I didn't know what Apple was. It was weird.
The Tech Era blog found some code in iTunes 10.5 Beta 9 indicating Apple could support rentals of apps in iOS 5. There's been nothing in the iOS 5 betas showing this, but a few strings in the iTunes beta code appear to be pop-up messages to notify consumers about the state of rented apps. Not movies, but apps. Apps are automatically removed from your iTunes library at the end of the rental period, and this app will be deleted from your computer, were a couple of the included statements. Would you rent an app?
It sounds strange to me. I have a lot of experience with apps, so I know that many of them are, between $1 and $5. I mean, there are $200 apps or even $40 apps where you think, I don't know. I wish I knew a little bit more about it before I went ahead and plunked down the money. So it can come in handy to be able to rent something before you decide to buy it. But I don't think it applies to that many apps in the store.
I don't know. I think I've seen some pretty expensive, like $30 apps. I think Slingbox is like $30. And there's an Orb app and it'll cost like $20.
Right.
Yeah. And the thing is, you don't even know how it works because the light version could be really good and maybe they optimized it. Now, I know that for Orb, I tested this out, and the light version is very limited, but it was more stable than the pay version, as I found out later on, which drove me insane because the things they want you to buy it. Now, if you could rent it out, you go, okay, well, maybe this is worthwhile because the light apps, I think, are just horrible.
So it's like a 10-day trial period type of a thing, an equivalent, perhaps.
Or I was thinking like maybe they could package movies that way as a movie app. So you would get the movie.
Right, so not from the movie store.
Right.
But
so the studios could sell directly to you.
There have been a few movies in
there.
There
could be extras and all kinds of other things on there that you would have, and it would be just time-bombed, and it would be over.
A few people in the chat room said games, where you just rent, you pay to rent the game.
Oh, yeah.
And then once you're done playing it, you know, it's deleted. You don't have to purchase it.
That's a really good one.
Games, yeah. I mean, I have folders of games, game apps that I'm just kind of done with, so it would have been better to rent. But they just weren't that expensive.
But see, would that drive
a couple of bucks?
Well, would that drive the prices of the apps up? So let's say the rental was 99 cents, and if you wanted to buy this thing, it'll cost you $4 instead of 99 cents or $1.29.
Or has Apple talked to enough companies that say, listen, our price point isn't going to be $1.99. I mean, we're going to have to offer this for $69, kind of like we do in the Mac App Store. And Apple's saying, maybe if we try to figure out some sort of a financial model that works better for consumers, we'll have more submissions into our App Store.
Yeah, I think a lot of developers aren't going to want to take advantage of this, though, because they'd rather somebody plunk down 99 cents, use the app one time and never use it again, then rent it, use the app one time and never buy it. It all depends on whether the rentals cost and how much they cost and all that. I mean, this is all rumor. The other big Apple-related rumor right now is that Sprint has entered into an agreement with Apple to purchase over $20 billion worth of iPhones over the next 4 years. That's quite a number, around 30 million iPhones. And it's reported by the Wall Street Journal that Sprint would not break even on the transaction until 2014. That's a fairly reasonable rumor. We're pretty sure Sprint's going to get the iPhone tomorrow. The craziness begins when Boy Genius Report weighs in and says their sources say that Sprint is going to get an exclusive on the iPhone 5 with WiMAX built in, while AT&T and Verizon are left with the iPhone 4S. And that explains why we've had rumors about two different types of iPhones.
Is it just misinformation, or is this Sprint being incredibly desperate? I mean, right now they're facing the AT&T T-Mobile merger. They're fighting it like crazy as much as they want to. They've partnered up before, back when Palm Pre, they were the exclusive partner, the launch partner, because they needed some kind of super smartphone, and they didn't have anything. Nothing like this. They had Blackberries and everything, but the Palm Pre was like their big smartphone. Maybe now they're just like, look, we'll just throw tons of money at you guys. You give me this phone and we'll do fine. I mean, the thing is, it's only going to be for, what, 1 year? Sprint has WiMAX. They're moving over to LTE anyway.
This rumor just stinks of not true to me.
Oh, yeah.
Pete, you. It's so not true.
Yeah.
Woo.
I'm sorry. It just does not pass that test for me.
But that's what happens in the 11th hour with Apple, is you get these crazy rumors like, Sprint's getting iPhone 5.
The whine of rumor reaches a fever pitch. In fact, that's why we didn't play Rumor Mill before this, because the mill is actually operating at an dangerously fast level. It's unsafe to go to the rumor mill.
It's also, you can say things like this because you know you can just correct it and it'll be buried in the real news in the morning.
Yeah, everybody listening to Tech News Today on your way into work in the morning, just skip that part. Too late.
It never
happened. They're right, in which case we said it second.
Let's go on to the news views. As I alluded to earlier, Yahoo and ABC News announced a new partnership where both will co-produce major news events. And Becky Worley works for both sides.
Hey.
An original interview series called Newsmakers will run both on Yahoo.com and ABCNews.com. The first interview will be conducted by George Stephanopoulos. He'll be talking with President Obama. Get a name guest next time, people.
Yeah, really.
This is a bit of an expansion of Yahoo and ABC News' relationship. The two announced a content distribution deal way back in December 2000. But now they're virtually uniting their newsrooms.
Verizon wants to stop the FCC's net neutrality rules, and they're so mad they're suing. The company filed suit on Friday that argues the FCC lacks authority to make those regulations. The complaint described the rules with the magic words arbitrary and capricious. This isn't the first lawsuit opposing net neutrality rules. The Free Press sued last Wednesday, arguing the rules don't actually even go far enough.
Told you these rules are not going to make either side happy. Mm-hmm.
Tesla, the electric car company, held an event on Saturday to show off its Model S sedan. Apart from requiring no gas to run, the Model S will also have a 17-inch LCD display, which is not multi-touch.
17 inches?
As a centerpiece of its in-car entertainment center.
My first television wasn't that big.
A 12.3-inch display. Was your TV bigger than 12.3 inches?
It was 13 inches.
Okay. A 12.3-inch display will serve as a normal dashboard with all kinds of speed, fuel, and other information there. The Model S is priced to be $57,400, and they're supposed to get below $50,000 with a tax credit, but it's not expected until next year.
Wow, this thing has really been dragging. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who ordered one, I mean, a couple years ago now,
yeah,
thinking he would get it in the next few months. So,
hey, they finally demonstrated it works.
Yeah.
That one
day. Big old 17 inches.
Maybe that's the one.
Like, was it going to be like a virtual steering wheel? That's big. Where are you going to put it?
As Mark Twain put it, reports of the Zune's death are greatly exaggerated. Actually, I don't think he said the part about the Zune, but a lot of people today were saying that the Zune website looked different because there was no Zune on it. No Zune MP3 player, anyway. References to Zune's software still existed, but not the hardware, which made people think that the Zune had finally been retired. Microsoft hurriedly said it was a publishing error, and the Zune HD is back on the site for now.
Apple's got a store. Microsoft's got a store.
Yeah.
Except Google. Wow, no. Actually, Google's now in the game. Last Thursday, a Chromebook mini store was unveiled inside of PC World Currys in London. It's basically just kind of like a bench with a dozen Chromebooks so people can try them out. Or then, you know, buy them if they like them. But more stores are set to be rolled out across the UK.
More benches
to be rolled out. Yeah. Bigger benches, though.
Bigger benches.
They've got
bigger
big plans.
All right.
Windows Phone Mango has plenty of cool features, but it also contains a fix that ought to calm privacy fans. Windows Phone 7.5 no longer sends location data without first getting a user's permission. Prior to the update, the OS would grab certain location data before displaying a notification to the user.
Time for some Eric Schmidt quote. In an interview, Mr. Schmidt said that Motorola Mobility won't be given any special treatment when it comes to Android. He said, quote, "We need strong, hard competition among all the Android players. We won't play favorites in the way people are concerned about." And then he also expressed confidence in the patents Google would get with Moto, saying, "We will end up having enough patents that we can end up with a rough truce with everybody else, because that's the way the game is played."
That wasn't crazy at all.
Actually, no, that all made sense. You're right.
Adobe made some really pretty calligraphy waves today by announcing its acquisition of font site Typekit. Typekit's technology will become part
Comic
of a service
Sans.
Called Adobe Creative Cloud, which is designed to help people create content in the cloud. Typekit will still be available as a standalone device.
Hmm.
Water comes out of it.
Yeah, I know.
You just stand out there for
apparently
a minute and you get mad.
The Kindle Touch 3G will not be able to access the entire internet when connecting to 3G. In a customer forum post, an Amazon spokesperson explained that 3G connectivity would be limited to Wikipedia, the Kindle store, and downloads of books and periodicals. On Wi-Fi, the browser can surf to any site. So if you really wanted 3G on a Kindle, you can still get that on the Kindle keyboard 3G. That's unlimited.
That experimental browser is so painful to use. Most people aren't even going to bother with it, but it's kind of like, why Amazon? Nobody's using the thing. Is it really going to use up that much 3G?
People try to download videos on their Kindles.
On their like, Kindle. It's on their e-ink Kindles.
And they won't know.
And then they get like ASCII art versions of them. Let's move on to the randomizer.
Randomizer.
Ah, yes. Before the Altair 8800, what you say? There was something before the Altair? Oh, yes, there was. The SCE, is that pipe symbol or a 1? B-I.
I don't know.
Anyway, before either of them was the Kenback 1, considered to be the first personal computer by the Computer History Museum. It was designed in 1970 and used transistor-to-transistor logic instead of a microprocessor. However, it has now been replicated using an Arduino. I love this. The original personal computer, now done in Arduino.
So that could power a watch or the first PC at this point.
Yeah, you can put in your own tape programs, too. I guess.
You going to build one?
Yeah, I actually could probably put them in digitally.
Yeah, you're like, I love this, but are you...
I love the idea of it. No, I don't have... Right. I will never get around to building it. Yeah, I don't have time.
Yeah.
Well, you can just build a mock-up of it. It doesn't really look like it does much.
I don't even have time for that.
It doesn't really matter how much it does.
No, 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 it does. That's the point, is that this actually works. Like, if somebody built a mock-up, I would have been like, eh, and I don't really care. But, like, they actually used Arduino and made this thing operate. That's cool.
Well, but that's what I mean. It's like the proof of concept is enough for a lot of people.
Yes, exactly. I love the proof, especially when it's in the pudding. Now let's look at the calendar.
The iPhone announcement is tomorrow, October 4th.
The what?
Don't know what you're talking about.
It's a real thing.
How are we going to find out what happens?
I'm glad you asked me that, Tom. The Twit Studio will open early.
I hear we have 75 people booked.
Something like that. I think there's about 10 of us who are actually, we're going to be here. Commenting live, as we do with Apple announcements. The keynote starts at 10 a.m., so we'll be live sometime before that. But definitely check in with us. We'll be reading the live blogs along with you with a lot of commentary. It should be a lot of fun. HP has closed its autonomy deal today. It's a done deal
for
$12 billion.
That answers that question about whether Meg Whitman would kill the deal. No.
No.
She won't.
It went right, sailed right through. The countdown to Oneiric Ocelot begins. What's that you say?
They already used Henri, so they had to come up with another Azure.
Yeah, Ubuntu 11.10. Optimistic Ocelot. There is no such thing. Have you ever met an ocelot?
Seriously.
No, I have not met an ocelot.
They are not optimistic animals.
Know. Yeah, they're so pessimistic.
Ubuntu 11.10 arrives October 13th, so that's Thursday after this coming one. MIPCOM has kicked off today. This is what it calls itself, the world's entertainment content market. Lots of studio executives talking about the future of television and film, but also more and more these days, reps from Netflix, Facebook, people who are getting into the content business as well.
Yeah, Netflix announced another acquisition of original content, Lilyhammer. Something Finnish. It's coming to Netflix.
Yeah. Olympic-based.
They also announced that, like, TV makes up half of the things people watch on Netflix. It's not about movies anymore, on the streaming anyway.
Oh, I believe it. Yeah, because you get hooked on a series, and then you end up watching so much more than just a single movie that you liked. Adobe Max User Conference has also kicked off today. It's kind of a big week for conferences. Samsung Galaxy Tab 10.1 is coming to T-Mobile on October 26th. Although, if you're looking to get one, we still don't know how much it's going to cost.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
The price is a mystery. I think it should be $199.
Oh, it's Lilyhammer is Norwegian. My apologies to Finland and Norway.
Yeah, because it was
I've
Olympics.
Offended you both. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't know why I said that.
Finally, the Samsung Galaxy Note is hitting the UK with a bang or a thud. It's big. On November 17th. Reminder that this is that 5.3-inch phone tablet thingy that some people are like, that's weird. And other people are like, I'm intrigued.
And it has a stylus.
And that too.
Take notes.
Yeah. Oh, right. This thing's so weird. It's 5 inches.
It's just,
is it
it's
a tablet
good,
or a PMP?
It's good for people with big pockets. And I don't mean rich people. I mean physically
what
large
pockets. What if
you want
something pockets. To look to scale with you?
You know what they say about people with big pockets? They buy the Samsung Galaxy Note.
It's a well-known
saying.
That's
what they say.
That's what they say.
Yep.
Incoming! Let's go to the phones. 260-TNT-SHOW is our phone number. You can call and leave us a message. And if it's short enough and makes sense enough, we'll play it on the air, like this one, about buying a Kindle in Canada.
Here's what it might cost a Canadian to buy the new Amazon Kindle. First, we don't qualify for the ad-supported model. We also don't qualify for free shipping. And we also have to pay the sales tax. And we might have to pay brokerage fees upon delivery. I canceled the order.
$169 is what it would cost him at the end to buy the $79 Kindle.
Bummer.
Cheaper to take a trip south, go to the United States, and go get one.
Just can you? They're not in stores.
I don't know where he is.
Could you?
You have to order them from Amazon right now.
Are they a friend to order them?
Are they in the stores? Well, yeah.
You could cross the border.
You'd have to get a friend to buy it for you. Yeah.
Bring your iPad.
Kindle smuggling is going to be huge this holiday season. You got any Kindles in there, sir? No, absolutely not.
No. Don't look
just
under
produce
there.
Produce and animals.
I thought I saw some e-ink.
This is just
sticking out of that glove compartment.
Just a chicken truck. a lot of chicken.
Just full of weapons and pot. No Kindles in here.
We wouldn't do that.
All right, let's check the email. Mark wrote in and said, on TNT 339, a caller questioned how much faster Silk's browsing will be since your connection to EC2 will still be slow. You mentioned compression and caching, but I think the big speed up would be that you maintain a single connection to EC2 over which all your data is transmitted. This reduces the latency significantly since instead of paying for high latency on every connection, you only pay once for a single connection. And by pay, he's using that term loosely. It's not about charging. Since Amazon servers will all have very low latency connections. So that's another good point in how EC2 works to speed up your browsing. Thanks, Mark, for that. Appreciate it. And thanks to everybody who participates in our Reddit at technewstoday.reddit.com. It's how we determine what kind of stuff you might be wanting to hear us talk about. And we combine that with our own sense about what we should talk about and make the lineup up. Thanks to Captain Kipper. Thanks to SciSpud. Thanks to Numanias.
Mm-hmm.
MacBytes, FlashCider, Java Dave, Canuck, and more for submitting stories at technewstoday.reddit.com. Go there, submit stories, or just vote things up or down, or both. We appreciate the feedback. It helps us figure out what to cover. That's it for this edition of Tech News Today. Tim Stevens from Engadget joins us tomorrow. He'll be at the iPhone announcement, so we can do a little, you know, once we've got some distance on the announcement.
Hooray
once we
for
come
Tim.
Down from the Tim Cook reality distortion field. We can talk to Tim and find out what's really going on. Plus the other tech news. All that tomorrow. TNT is found at twit.tv/TNT. Email us TNT at twit.tv or give us a call 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll see you tomorrow.